It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Audio courtesy of FanDuel. All right, what we got going on here now, Tone? That ain't good.
That's so bizarre.
That's three in a row, yeah. And I've been saying, Cavs are fine, Cavs
bizarre
are fine, Cavs
see.
Are fine. Righteous, right at me. Twitter reactions brought to you by Schaub and Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Ken, it's time to panic. You think of that? Telling me it's time to panic. Should I panic?
Well, why panic? What's the...
I had people just woke up, saw the final score, and that's it. I mean, they played at 10 o'clock last night. These are games that are played behind the green door.
No, I would get panic if there was something that you were seeing that was broken and couldn't be fixed. I don't see that at all with this team. Like when I think panic, I think, oh my God, what, Donovan Mitchell's out for the year. Yeah, panic. Because they can't get Donovan Mitchell back. Or something like that. If there was significant injury, you know, I would say that. Or if there was a lengthy sample of the season in which they were, you know, bottom third in defense. No, they're not defending like they were, obviously, but that's not, they'll just get that right back to where they need to in the playoffs. And that's the one thing, even in the playoffs, even when they've disappointed the playoffs, their defense has been incredible.
Yeah.
So what would be the reason if someone wanted to panic? I think it's crazy, but you have to tell us
why.
Well,
then tell me why should we panic? And I know it's early, so we should probably do this later in the show when some other people who actually did watch the game woke up. You know, I had to go back and see it. I know Owen saw the beginning of it and then got very angry.
I saw half and thought, oh, we'll be okay tonight.
Things will
be
fine.
And then they gave up 43 in the third. I did not see that portion of it.
That's not good.
I think most people in Northeast Ohio probably went to bed at halftime.
Yes.
It looked like, okay, they're not going to play the way that they played against the Clippers.
Well, then that's it. Then you just hit it. If they went to bed at halftime and everything was going to be fine and they woke up and they saw that they lost again, well, then now there's a problem to them. Because you've betrayed their trust. Because how many times have the same fans, even on East Coast games, how many times have the same fans went to bed at midnight or turned on something else and went upstairs
and
watched it?
The problem previously was you stayed and they didn't give you anything close.
Yes.
They went and blew teams out.
So you just got used to leaving at halftime or turning it off in halftime and going out. And so now they've betrayed your trust because everything looked fine at halftime and then it went to hell by the time you woke up. So now you're mad. So now it's time to panic, according to some. That's probably why. That's the best theory I have. Because you're right. I mean, all this stuff is, as you say, I don't like to say explainable because then it sounds like explainable and excuses start with the same letters. So I don't really want to.
Yeah, but I want to be fair.
Do like, that.
You know that as somebody who is a proper fan of basketball in Northeast Ohio, because I watch other teams, you've made me
more proper over time. I mean, I'm thoroughly proper now. I think you made me more proper 2013. I think I got more proper with you.
Well, the reason I bring it up, it's not just the Oklahoma City Celtics game that I chided fans for not caring about, but I have watched a ton of Boston this year, and they've lost, you know, how many more times than us? We're still six games ahead of them. Should their fans, quote, panic?
But they've won a championship. We haven't. And I likened this yesterday. I wish I would have said this on the air. I think of things in the afternoon, and I go, damn it, I should have said on the air. There is some, like, the pressure question. At first, I thought there was more pressure. Keith Britton asked me this question, asked us this question, and then just kind of walked away last week. Who has more pressure, Cavs or Celtics? And I said Cavs. Or I said Celtics, I mean. I beg your pardon. But then I thought about it. I'm glad. I'm like, well, we danced around a little bit on the air. But then the more I think about it, I go, like the Celtics already won their championship, and I think the league does want a dynasty. But, you know, the Cavs are starting to remind me in some ways, like if they don't go and they don't win in the Eastern Conference Finals, they lose again. They didn't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. I understand that. But if you lose to the Celtics again, then you start to remind people of Josh Allen and the Bills. And you have a great regular season. Things are wonderful. You turn it on, and then you get beat by the same team. And that fan base has a lot of panic that rolls through them. They do. Like every fan base try to act like they don't. They do. I mean, go back to 2 years ago, you're firing Ken Dorsey during the season. Then they're talking about the hit pieces that came out about Sean McDermott and how he's just this panic-stricken lunatic that doesn't know how to coach a football team. Then they go on and they win just about every game that they played since that firing. Of course, we hired a guy. And then last year, they kicked ass, took names. The season was a giant party. And then they ran into problems again in the postseason. So I think some people look at it and go, it's starting to resemble the Bills a little bit to them. And that's a panicky Pete type of fan base over there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the way people watch a regular season, it's not like the NFL. So I don't expect to see a lot of people like jumping off the bandwagon or anything like that, especially West Coast games. Are people even watching, you know, the entire games? Are they just going to the box scores? They just watching it on TikTok like the kids do today. So
how many kids are watching on TikTok?
It seems like a ton.
Really?
Seems like a ton for whatever reason. But I look at it as the one thing that I've said I'm concerned about continues to show up.
What's that?
Which is just Donovan and Darius. Now, Darius didn't play last night, but Donovan and Darius just have not shot the ball well. They have not been efficient. You know, the two of them, and then you throw in Ty Jerome, who struggled last night. The three of them have been by far the best backcourt in the league. And it's been a big reason why they win, and they're expecting that to be a big reason why they advance in the playoffs. But the last 2 months, they've just not shot well. And it's been...
Free throws are bad, too.
Yeah, even that, which is really weird.
Yeah.
So, last night, again, Donovan Mitchell, 1 of 6 from three. I don't know what happened to the three-point shot, but it has gone south in a huge
way. He's been bad in March, man.
Now,
hitting three has been bad.
Now, the difference between Donovan and Darius is Donovan's had mammoth playoff showcases. Incredible series. I know he hasn't gotten past, you know, the second round, but it hasn't been his fault. Like, he has been really the only series where he struggled against the Knicks a couple years ago. He really did. He got outplayed by Jalen Brunson. But he will put up huge, huge performances. Darius can't really say that. Darius has just not played well in the playoffs. And it hasn't been a ton of games.
Can I argue that he wasn't in the lineup last night? Or is that just putting my head in the sand?
I don't think you can because they were without two of their best players. I mean, they were without Sabonis and they were without Zach LaVine. So that's a bad loss. But I don't think it means anything. Like, them not playing defense last night does not tell me they can't play defense in the playoffs. Like, that's obviously not the case.
On my Bills analogy, someone brought up the Utah Jazz against the Bulls in the late 90s. Ooh. They did make it to the finals.
Sure. Yeah.
I certainly hope we look at Donovan Mitchell much more fondly than we do Karl Malone 20 years later. Let's get to Chris in North Ridgeville. You're first up on the Fan. Hello, Chris.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
We're doing well. Well, we're trying to do well. Chris, go right on ahead.
So I, in the moment of watching the game, I did kind of like start to have that worry about the Cavs. But then I remembered everybody talking about this long skid out west. And I don't know. When you're in like a class, right? Like, let's the analogy of like the end of the school year kind of deal.
Senioritis.
Like you senioritis. So you already got the A. You already got an A for the season, and it's easy when you don't have Sabonis or LaVine to, I guess, kind of play down to a team. But the Kings have like a roster full of guys that can pop off at any moment. Like, it's just a very strange roster, and I didn't take it too seriously once kind of the game ended, because I think that they're kind of, you know, like you said, Darius is out, and we're trying to kind of get situated for the postseason. So I think they already got an A on the season. I think it's going to be a different mode once the playoffs come, but I think we got to remember that like shots were still falling. We scored 119 points, and defense hasn't been great, but I think it's also, I mean, this is a lot at the end of the season too. And to your point, we got six games on Boston. I don't know if I would go crazy, because it sounds like a lot of us were more putting focus on, we want to make sure that we have home court in case we play Boston or in case we play OKC in the finals. And honestly, I didn't think it was, the second half was pretty bad, but I just don't think I would go crazy worrying about it at this point. I would just wait until you get to the last few games, let them come back home, and I think we're going to see a different club in probably a week or two once they can kind of recoup and then we have a healthy roster. But I don't think we're going to see the full roster all the time, probably not for the rest of the season. So it's kind of hard when you're messing with the lineup and you got guys kind of playing different roles a little bit. So
I agree with you, Chris. Yeah, I agree with that part of it. And thank you very much for the call. I want to get to John in Geneva. John, good morning.
Good morning. I was just saying it's not time to panic, because when they win 15 in a row or they lose 3 in a row, I know who they are. They're the kings of the regular season, and I don't think they can win 2 series this year in the playoffs. They just haven't proved themselves in the playoffs. I'm not.
So we won't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals?
No. That makes me believe that they can. Just because they play 4 quarters harder than all these other teams during the regular season, and they think the regular season matters, that's great. It's good for marketing. Cleveland fans love the Cavs again. They get a lot of revenue. That's great, but it's great.
Wait a minute. Because they try hard in the regular season, even though they've just lost 3 regular season games in a row, you don't have faith in them in the postseason.
I'm saying even when they win 15 in a row, I still don't, that doesn't give me faith for the postseason. I watch some of these games, like the other teams, they do not give 4 quarters of effort during a regular season game. They just don't care as much as the Cavs do about the regular season.
So the record doesn't matter to you at all?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
Their record in the playoffs matters.
Well, they haven't made to the playoff. They haven't gone to the playoffs yet.
Last year, the year before, their record of when they get to the playoffs is what I've seen, and they have not proven that they can get past the second round of the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
Some other team is going to put 4 quarters of effort into all 7 games of the series or 5 games of the series, and the Cavs are going to be like, oh, I don't know what that was. What was that?
The Cavs aren't going to put 4 quarters of effort in the postseason. They're not going to put 4 quarters of effort in postseason games?
The Cavs will, but they have been during the regular season too. They play hard.
What are you doing here?
But when they're on their series, they play hard. All 4.
Bye. Okay, John. Thank you for the.
I think he could have just. I understand.
I don't understand
going.
It. You got to help me. Please help me.
The Cavs play harder than most teams in a regular season. They do, okay. And I think it is a testament. It is a good thing for the fans, because when you go
they're
to
not
games,
supposed to try
you're
hard.
Not. Hold on. You're not shortchanged when you go and watch the Cavs. I think that's been the case. Even what Bickerstaff did, and what I think Atkinson has continued, is they really do play harder than a lot of teams. Like, they do not mail it in very often. That's why it's shocking when, like last night, they don't play the defense, their perimeter defense, Mobley getting smoked. I mean, he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year, and he's getting smoked. He's just not trying as hard. That's rare to see. That's why it's so jarring when it happens. But I think he just wants to say, he just thinks the Celtics are still a tier above.
If you think the Celtics are better, just you could have saved 3 minutes and said the Celtics are better.
Yeah, it was a clunky way to go about saying it.
Like, it was clunky, all
right. The Cavs aren't going to lose to Milwaukee or the Pacers.
Trying to start an old-timey car on a Looney Tunes.
They're not going to lose to Milwaukee or any of these teams that we're talking about them potentially playing, because like the other team's going to play harder than them, or like I don't see them losing, period, because they're just flat out better, no matter whether they get the best shot or not. Like, that's not going to be what there's only there really is. I think, doesn't everybody agree with that? There's really only right now one team that can beat them in the East.
The Celtics. But the way he saw it, because I think right now, what would be your second round matchup? Would it be Milwaukee? I think it is.
I think that's how it is, yeah.
So, okay, so it would probably be Milwaukee. I mean, they are only one game away from the Pacers, so we'll see where it's at, even though they lost.
Yeah, I mean, it could end up being Detroit. It could end up very easily being Detroit.
Okay, Detroit's a try-hard team, and they're not as talented as you. Right. So let's call it what it is. If you lose in the Eastern Conference semis, it's a massive failure. If you lose to anybody but Boston, it's a massive failure.
Yeah, right now, Indiana's fourth. Milwaukee and Detroit have the same – well, they're both the same amount of games back. Milwaukee's fifth.
Well, I'm glad you understood it, because I didn't. It's just, if you don't think they're better than the Celtics, I can understand.
He tried to consider it a bad thing that the Cavs try hard in the regular season.
No, it's not.
And it's been awesome. Now, what's crazy is they're probably not going to get the franchise record anymore. They have to go, let's see here. They have to go 11 and they've got 13 games left, right?
Yeah.
They have to go 11 and 2. They're probably not going to do it. They're probably not, which is crazy. That seemed like that was a guarantee. Because we always get in these discussions about, this is more fun than the LeBron years. This is, and people would say, hey, finally, Anthony, it actually is going to be more fun because they're going to have more wins. It's like, no, they're probably not now. They're probably not going to win 66 games.
It always comes back to him.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
You know, next time we have John and Geneva call in, could you just interpret it then? And so I don't have to feel like a jerk. You know that's going to bother me for the rest of the day.
Well, no, why would you feel
anytime
like a jerk?
Anytime I participate in Sweet Chin Music, I feel bad for the rest. I'm not kidding. That's not a lie. I will be driving later this afternoon going, I wish he would have just got to a damn point on that. It didn't make any damn sense. And then Lyman goes, oh, I just don't think they're going to beat the Celtics. And I go, it would have taken 10 seconds.
That's why we don't give you the button, because I don't feel anything about it.
We could speed things up. You're right. But then, you know, 4 hours, we'd only need like a, you know, 20-minute show.
Bill and Parma
John will talk in circles for the rest.
Yeah, Bill and Parma would still be talking to me from like 8 months ago. That's true. I was in charge of the dumps.
Come to think of it, the kids are just going to, they're going to watch us on TikTok. They'll just condense our show down to 3.5 minutes. That's what it is.
Love Subway Surfers playing underneath.
What?
You don't know about that? That's a huge thing on TikTok.
It's what? Wait, what is it again?
People play like phone app games on like one split half of the screen, then the other one they play like regular like videos. Yeah.
It boggles my mind.
It's brain rotting the kids, as they say.
Get ready, Ken.
No response to that, Ken.
Your boys are in that range. They're going to be the target of TikTok.
Yeah. I really hope there's no reincarnation. I don't want to see what the future is after this is over. Good Thursday morning to everybody.
Can I give you an insight on what the Browns' future might be?
Yes, we love it.
Well, according to Mary Kay Cabot yesterday, she'll be on at 8:20 this morning here on the show. The Cleveland Browns and Carson Wentz may have mutual interest in this offseason on making him their veteran bridge quarterback, apparently contingent upon them signing Russell Wilson. This is Mary Kay yesterday on...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What does it take to change the course of lung disease? It takes groundbreaking research in pursuit of new therapies. It takes the world's leading experts in complex pulmonary conditions focused on restoring patients' quality of life. It takes visionaries to improve treatment options for even the most advanced disease. To lead lung care forward across our region and the world, it takes Temple Health.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Station talking about how Wentz could finally be a Brown after he was maybe thought to be one in 2016 before they traded out of number two.
That's on the table for right now, and it's just kind of funny to look back at how that all transpired with the trade that they had the number two pick again back then, and they traded it to the Eagles, who, of course, took Carson Wentz.
I remember that you guys used to play the Fly Eagles Fly song about Carson Wentz, and I was sick. And then he just fell off a cliff after he got hurt.
He did.
He got hurt in that playoff game, and then that was basically it.
Did he have back surgery?
Yeah, yeah. Doctor gave him a bacchiotomy.
It all went south, and then upstairs it went south. Sound like any other quarterback, you know. And not only that.
Then they did the dreaded airing him out in the locker room.
Right.
Oh, this brings back fond memories.
Long time ago.
2017 all over again.
I think once it was like officially he was over, I was like, Owen Plant, screaming at Owen, like trying to get back in your face over it.
Well, remember they hijacked our dog theme?
Yeah, they did.
So they became like the dog pound for a year, but they got rid of it. Like, they didn't keep it. They just used it for that
they were wearing those dog masks.
Yes.
And then that was it. And then they have Jason Kelce. He's like Mr. Philadelphia now, so...
But anyway, Carson Wentz, I paid close attention to Carson just because this was one of the takes. Like, we referenced the Anthony Bennett takes yesterday. I was in love with Carson Wentz, and I thought it was the biggest disaster ever for the Browns to pass on him. And then he sucked. Like, he just went backwards. Remember that game in Cleveland? The windy weather.
Back in 22.
He was horrific. When we had three straight bad weather games or whatever, he was horrific.
That's what kind of officially ended it. For him.
Yeah, and he's been really bad. Now, he did have that 1 year in
Indy.
Remember
that Deshaun Watson game in bad weather that year, too?
Yep. Yep.
Tried to warn you about that one.
That was bad. The
Champions pose.
The Colts season, he actually played really well until the end of the year when they were going for the playoffs. He threw all those interceptions. But I don't think he can really play. I don't think he can really start for you an entire season. Like, if he's starting for you an entire season, you're... I mean, what's your ceiling? Six wins?
He had spots with the Chiefs last year, and it was
bad.
It was not good.
Made you realize what you were missing in Carson Wentz Patrick Mahomes, for sure. Now, speaking of the Browns yesterday, this is from David Njoku's Instagram. I don't know if it's so much the video that was posted, it's the timing of the video that was posted. This is an interaction between David Njoku and former Hurricane as well as Njoku and incoming draft pick Cam Ward.
There go that man right there, huh?
Cleveland.
Come talk to me nicely.
This is not the first time we've seen Cam Ward kind of like talk about Cleveland this offseason. There was the video of him talking about the Myles Garrett not being traded. And now we're getting some more insight.
Trade up for him. No? Anybody trade up for Cam Ward? No.
I told you yesterday I would. I just don't understand why Tennessee would allow somebody else to go up and get a guy that, you know, they've been suffering just like us. They need a quarterback.
I understand that, but I can't force
that. That's why it just doesn't seem realistic to me.
Could always make a call. What's a call worth?
Like, if I were them, I'd be like, all right, trade us Denzel Ward. Like, why would you go down? Why would you go down and allow, unless they,
Denzel Ward for Cam Ward?
Unless they had Shedeur Sanders, you know, graded evenly. So they're like, well, we don't
care. Would you trade Denzel Ward for Cam Ward?
I would trade anything to get, to change the fortunes of my
team. Trade Myles Garrett for Cam Ward?
I put everything on the table.
I'm asking you. Yeah, do you think Cam Ward's good enough?
No, I don't think he's that
good. Okay, I don't care about theory. I care about you.
No, but I do think the theory is important to talk about. Like, I think we get crazy. We just have some of these ideas take a backseat. Like, yeah, to get the quarterback that you thought was by far the best.
Personally, I would probably trade everybody else except for Myles Garrett for Cam Ward. And then even then, I'd have to think about it. Of course, he has no trade clause, so he'd probably turn it down.
Yeah, not to mention, people are telling me because I keep mentioning, like, oh, if they're bad in a year, we'll be back into the same spot. They're like, he is borderline untradeable now with this contract. Like, people are not going to want this contract.
Out to Arizona yesterday, the Cleveland Guardians in a split of games between the A's and Athletics, but that's not the big story. The big story yesterday coming from Guardians manager Stephen Vogt naming his starting pitcher for opening day in one, Tanner Bibee. This is Vogt yesterday.
He's wanted this. You know, last year he made the comment to me, you know, and when we got to spring training, I met him. He said, I'm a number one. I know you will be. He's like, no, I want to start opening day. And I'm like, well, Shane Bieber may have something to say about that, but I love where you're at and I don't ever lose that. And so you said you wanted this and now you earned it. For Tanner, he's earned every bit of this. It's a big deal. And so I'm really excited for Tanner.
He is only the third opening day starter in the last 11 seasons.
Yep.
It has been Bieber and Kluber before that. I mean, that is a pretty strong run.
It is, yeah.
For Indians starting pitching, it's at least
a nice
top
honor.
End starting pitching.
This matters is a nice to thing. These
Good
guys.
For him.
These guys, this is like a goal for a lot of these pitchers. So
is he
I think that's really
26?
Cool.
What is it, 26?
He's just a pup. Good for him. I'm expecting big things out of that young man. Expecting big things out of Gavin Williams, too. He's been kicking ass and taking names. You don't have to look it up, Mitch. Go right on ahead.
No,
continue with
you. I just did. It was actually
26. There you go.
Gavin Williams, 5 strikeouts, by the way, yesterday. He has 21 strikeouts and about 12 innings of work out in Goodyear so far. So this is also some news from the NFL yesterday. You guys seeing this. The Green Bay Packers officially proposing a ban for the tush push. It had been reported over the last couple of weeks, and now we are here. The Packers officially wanting to get rid of one of the more talked about plays in the NFL the last few years.
I battle this. I go back and forth emotionally. I still say no. I still say a football play is a football play is a football play. Line up, find a way to stop it, even though it's a free first down. In so many ways, maybe it should just be stuck to the old QB sneak. No pushing on the buttocks. None of that. Maybe we can do that, which is basically what they want to do. But I still think a football play is a football play, and hell, it's hard enough as it is to get forward momentum running the ball, so I still say leave it in.
What's amazing is the rest of the league has had the opportunity to replicate this. No one can do it. Ask the Bills. They would love to have a play that could get them 1 yard when they really need it, and you would think they have Josh Allen. They have a guy that could do it. They can't. With all that said, I think the Super Bowl is going to change. Happened in the NFC Championship game is going to change it. I think seeing one team jump off sides intentionally and do it 5 straight times, 7 straight times.
I don't think they were wrong to do it either.
Right, and for the officials to go, we're just going to give them a touchdown. I think that is where the commissioner and I think some executives in the league are like, we can't have that. That's a circus. That's not football. So I actually think this has a shot, or at least to tweak the rule.
If you can game the system, go right on ahead and do it.
That's it for about last night.
Outstanding, my friend Mitch. Outstanding. We'll have stadium updates coming up here in a bit. The gloves are off, Tone. The proverbial gloves are off. Chris Ronayne was talking yesterday in a press conference. The Mayor Bibb has released a statement. Yibbly. Wonder if anybody's changed their mind. One way or the other. Because anytime we talk about the stadium, there's one side that definitely wants to keep them along the lakefront. There's another side that definitely wants to go. And I wonder if they're either dug in or maybe anybody has changed their mind on something like that.
And I will make a case why it's a really good thing.
That they're arguing like this?
Yes.
Oh, excellent.
That I want it to get even uglier.
And we're just
getting started.
And I think all Clevelanders and everybody in Northeast Ohio should too.
Can beggars be choosers? I ask this because Brian Hoyer was on the station with us yesterday, and Brian had a, what we call a creamy nugget.
I would take Joe Milton over any of the quarterbacks in the draft this year. Now, there's hindsight there because he's already in the NFL, and the Patriots have kind of dangled like they want a third-round pick, which probably means they'd take a fourth-round pick. If you're the Cleveland Browns or the Tennessee Titans or the New York Giants, and you don't feel like Shador or Cam are worthy of those picks, would you think outside the box? Now, look, the fans and the media might say, oh, you're passing, you could have this guy. But when you watch the tape and you watch what Joe Milton is capable of doing, if he was in this draft, he would be in the talk to be the number one quarterback.
That is Brian Hoyer with us yesterday. Hear that entire interview, 92.3thefan.com. That's 2 weeks in a row he said something that's got people going eight one way or the other, man. There are people who've loved Joe Milton. I went back and I watched the game yesterday because I'm a sicko, and I watched that Week 18 game. I watched it on the All-22 as well. I watched it twice.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. I swear to God. I swear to God on my children because I'm just perverted for football. I don't know. There's one way to say it.
Can you? The first thing before you get into that, can you speak to the level of competition he was facing?
They were playing their ass off, but they were backups. They were playing their asses off. I mean, and what Brian says, and Brian highlighted that in the interview. Brian had said, "Hey, you're playing backups, but it's the 53-man backup. It's not the 90-man roster backup. These guys have been on. They are active rostered players. Now, some of them have been brought off the P squad here and there, but these are active rostered players. You can't play all the backups, so there was definitely some starters in there that were playing for the Bills. And Joe Milton played well for himself, but immediately the comments came in, and I thought again he played very, very well in that game. I can't take anything away from that young man, but immediately the comments came in. Well, why was he a 6th-round pick then? Really, we're going to go and we're going to trade a 3rd-rounder for a 6th-round pick just last year? Remember Matt Flynn, guys? Yeah. Remember him? Yeah. I go, guys, I'm just trying to keep an open mind here. And then it got down to Brian is in that building. He said so himself. He's trying to start a market for the Cleveland Browns and the New England Patriots.
Hey, that's a hell of a conspiracy theory.
That's pretty good.
So is he a plant right now? The Patriots have gotten him on Cleveland radio. And this is just the start of the bidding that he is going to do for the New England Patriots. That is loyalty.
I have unknowingly been a patsy for an NFL general manager before. As we know it, I may very well unknowingly be a patsy for an NFL general manager now. Anyway, Andy Gresh will join us at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock from New England. We'll talk to him about all this. But, Lima, you said, I don't know where people get so choosy about their quarterbacks.
Yeah, I am not surprised, obviously, that a bunch of fans jumped on Brian and laughed that we were building Joe Milton up yesterday, and I had fun doing so. I think I sent one highlight and one backflip and then gave his dimensions, 6'5", 250, and I was like,
big boy.
Holy cow, we've got a guy that could do this, and he's available, and all you have to do is give up a 4th-rounder. So obviously, we're having some fun yesterday, and quite frankly, Milton was really bad in the preseason. Like, I went back and looked at just the numbers. I don't think I had to look at the game after seeing the numbers, and it was really bad. So, whatever. Like, we'll have fun because we're desperate. Like, the Browns are desperate, and my overarching view on all of this is I'm going to be open-minded on a quarterback, because what did we do? When we looked at the guys available in the draft, when everybody was telling us this was a really bad quarterback draft, and all the guys in free agency after Matt Stafford was off the table, I said, how picky can you be? Like, we're desperate. We need a quarterback. We got to take bites at the apple. So I'm willing to talk crazy. I'm willing to talk crazy about all of this because every other move has failed, and I'm willing to listen. Like, obviously, that's why I was willing to listen on Shador Sanders. And I did tell you that after the combine, it did seem that most had him as a second-round grade around the league. Now, guys have to do mock drafts. Guys have to fill airspace. So, of course, the same quarterback, the same upward trajectory that happens every year at this time when it comes to quarterbacks, now has Shador all the way up to 2 to the Cleveland Browns. Yep. Like, that's what was always going to happen. But I'm willing to listen. Like, I'm willing to listen on all this stuff.
So, at the base of it, I want to agree with you. I want to, but I can't. Because I feel the same way. I'm willing to listen to just about anybody. Yes, I would rather go out with 10 than some of these quarterbacks, but I have to consider them because we're in a bad position here. Thanks to all the decisions they've made, we're reaping what we sow now. But fans didn't make these decisions. And even if they did, they don't claim responsibility for them like you have to, like we have to, because we're public voices out here on the radio, so we have to answer for some of the opinions we have. Fans don't have to do that for anything. So I think fans have every right to be choosy. I think fans have every, as much as I scoff at times at some of these opinions over quarterbacks and who's terrible and who's good and why they're good, and some of the reasons are flat out dumb, I still think that you have every right to be choosy as a fan. And you could say, no, I'm not going to accept Carson Wentz. I don't like Carson Wentz. You do not get my attention. You do not get my full-throated endorsement of what you're trying to do. I will be cynical about you until either Carson Wentz proves me wrong, which he won't, or you go out and get somebody who's actually serious.
So you're just saying, I think
I use him as one example.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if we're not really disagreeing all that much. It's just the
I just degree. Defend their right to poo-poo any name that's out there.
I get that because I'm doing it with Russ and with Aaron Rodgers isn't even, like, that's how low we are. Aaron Rodgers isn't even considering us.
Well,
that's how bad this is.
I'm mad at Aaron Rodgers by effect, but that's for a different segment in the show because he's holding everything up.
So, yeah, I'm with you that whoever we end up with, like, I'm not projecting the Browns to be very good next year. Like, that's an unfortunate reality. With that said, like, as far as the Browns go, like, they have to search far and wide. They have to do everything they can.
But
because that's why I'm not just summarily dismissing Joe Milton.
But
because we're the beggars here, and beggars can't be choosers. And in this case, the Browns have to turn over every single stone.
I think a lot of Browns fans will say, you're the beggar. I'm not the beggar. Their most important thing to a Browns fan, they might not even realize it, is their time. Time is everything to a Browns fan. You get my money. You've got my attention before. You have my heart. I mean, there's so many people say, I give up on this team, and then they're back. They know they're back. They can't quit it. They've lost the team before. They love the team, but damn it, their time is their most valuable thing. And they can look at it and go, you're bringing me Carson Wentz this Sunday? You do not get my time. I'm going to go out to the park with my kids. I'm going to go do lawn work, as everybody likes to make the joke. The weather's still good. I'm getting 18 in. Over at one of the courses before the season closes. Like, you do not get my time and my attention until you take it seriously. And that's where I think a fan can be choosy, because they look at you and me and, damn it, we saw this over the fall. I hate to admit this. You guys have to sit here and pay attention to these games. Ken and Anthony, we don't. That's how they feel, and I defend their right to do that. That's a nice feeling to have. It's the only power a fan truly has.
But I want to know, are we on the same page on, like, okay, Carson Wentz, we know what he is.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of these veterans, we know what he is.
Yeah.
That's why I don't have a ton of interest in, you know, Russell Wilson at this point, even if I know he can get us through a season. I know he could get, if everything went well, all right, Russ could get us to 8 wins. I don't deny that. But when it comes to guys that we don't know about, I'm willing to look into it. I heard somebody say, why not Malik Willis? Like, I'm willing to look into everything right now, unless we know what they are. If we know what something is, it's why I was like, yeah, play DTR last year. He probably sucks. And yes, Joe Milton probably won't be good, but I'm willing to look into it. I'm willing to do a deep dive on all this stuff because we don't have a quarterback. And until we have a quarterback, yeah, you keep looking.
216-474-0092. Do fans have a right to be choosy about quarterbacks? Or do you feel the same way Anthony does? It's like, no, you don't. Beggars can't be choosers, because I defend your time. Do fans have the right to be choosy about quarterbacks?
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.